We start off our show talking about ivermectin. Again, we are in the midst of a very vicious third wave, and the evidence of that is all around us. It's on our WhatsApp feed, it's in our hospitals, it's in our clinics, and it is also in the legislation and the statute books, as we see higher levels of precaution being administered by the South African government. I wanted to touch back into the discussion of ivermectin. Not again to suggest that, there's a conclusive open and shut case here, or that this is the only solution, but many medical professionals that previously come to the fore and said that this was an important intervention that was not being considered as it ought to, and could play an important role to reduce the load on our hospitals and also remove some of the worst impact of this disease. What is the update relating to ivermectin? On the line with us this evening, Dr. Nasiba Kathrada, or popularly known as Dr. Katz, who's been leading this fight and also signed petitions in the past, has taken this issue to court along with a number of other parties as well. She joins us this evening for an update. Dr. Nasiba, shukran for your time. Welcome to Radio Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
In a nutshell, very quickly, if you could just summarize, before we go into the current status, everything that has happened until now. I mean, from the time you started with that petition, what were the to and fros, what were the legal avenues explored until this point in time?
SAHPRA banned ivermectin on the 22nd of December last year. And with that came the influx of the black market, and a lot of doctors were using it. A lot of people were not allowed to use it. It was a lot of confusion. And I wrote a letter to the president. It wasn't necessarily a petition, and there were lots of people who agreed with what my sentiments were in the letter, where I said, Mr. President, give hope back to the people and trust back to the doctors. And that started in January. And alhamdulillah, from then, it just gathered momentum to see that there were so many people, doctors, healthcare workers, lay people who supported ivermectin. And together, like you rightly said, together with three other groups, I formed a group called I Can Make a Difference, which was ivermectin can make a difference. We were a group of about 44 healthcare workers that went to court together with Pharma Value, AfriForum, and ACDP. And all of us challenged the SAHPRA's banning and then the process and all different angles. And alhamdulillah, we came to an out-of-court settlement where Judge Kasim Sadiwala ruled that ivermectin was now to be made accessible and available, like SAHPRA said, through the Section 21 application process, but it should not be a difficult process. Furthermore, compounding pharmacies were now allowed to give doctors ivermectin on a per-script basis. And subsequently, we now encourage doctors and pharmacists to fill out just one bulk application, Section 21, on the SAHPRA website. And then if they are a dispensing doctor, they can keep ivermectin on their premises. If they are not, they can just send a script to a pharmacy that stocks ivermectin in the area. And on a per-script basis, like you would pick up anything else from your pharmacy, you now can get access to ivermectin.
So if I take the sum total of what you said there, Doctor, that obviously sounds like a lot, immense progress being made from where we were about 6 months ago. Does that mean that ivermectin is now being used prominently and openly across the South African spectrum, and you would say making a difference in the fight against COVID?
You know, that's such a very difficult question to answer, so let me just put it to you like this. During the time when SAHPRA banned ivermectin, there was a huge influx in the black market, and there was a lot of people using the vet preparation, the veterinary preps, the liquid, as they call it, or the syrup, as people call it. And what happened was, that was our big fight. Our angle was, the control has now been taken away from the doctors. So now, when we now think that it's illegal to use ivermectin because we believe in it, alhamdulillah, we've seen such great results with it based on the studies coming out worldwide, based on friends and colleagues using it now that it's allowed to be used, and also based on the Facebook stories that people were using it when it was banned. The thing is, Now when I get phone calls, and many of my colleagues, when we get phone calls or messages or people come to consult with us, they already have ivermectin. And when they take it, which is a good thing, which is what we want, but remember my letters to the president said, give hope back to the people, but give control and trust back to the doctor. And that's the part that's gone really gray at the moment. So two parts there. The first thing is that public are using it because they know it works, but they're using it in the incorrect dose. And as you know, the only certain thing about this pandemic is its uncertainty. So from the beginning to now, there were groups like the FLCCC who didn't even have ivermectin in their treatment. Now they've seen the results and they're keeping up to date with all the research around the world. And they too keep constantly revising their treatment protocols. And we as a group here in South Africa also keep up to date with what's going on. So as doctors, we know when there's a change in protocol. I'm not sure if you remember, there was a time when people were handing out ivermectin, two tablets in a little packet saying, take this on day one and then 48 hours later. Gone are those days. We're now advocating ivermectin use differently for prophylaxis, differently for early treatment, differently for post-exposure, and differently for late treatment. And that is a difficult concept for a lay person to understand. But the doctors will understand this. And unfortunately, with the way the pandemic is going, we went straight from fear, sanitize, wear masks, to vaccinate. And there's a huge gap that has been created because we went from those two things, social distancing, sanitizing, you know, don't go out, lockdown, and the next thing, everybody must vaccinate. There hasn't been enough emphasis in our country and worldwide on treatment protocols. The focus has been pushed onto vaccines. And what we're trying to do is saying, while we are pushing for vaccines and while vaccines are being rolled out, people are dying. And vaccines are prophylaxis. They are not treatment. And now that the big hole came about, and you know, if you have a family member that's sick or vulnerable or got COVID, people are just scared. They need to just remember two things. The first thing is that now, well into the pandemic, alhamdulillah, there are groups of us that have come together as doctors, as physicians, and on a daily basis, we discuss cases with each other, and we form our own protocols. We make our own decisions. Never before in the history that I know has a GPs have to come together to discuss patients. We face with unprecedented times. We are, alhamdulillah, making progress. But when you look at something like ivermectin, I'm sure you know somebody who is diabetic. You've never had to WhatsApp somebody you know and say, hey, how much of metformin must my mother take? You'd never do that. You take the person to a doctor, the doctor does an assessment, and then the doctor will decide what the dosage is. If you want to take ivermectin and your doctor is not giving it because they're not pro-ivermectin, perhaps they got any other treatment, no problem. Alhamdulillah, maybe that will work. But if you want a doctor that gives ivermectin, then you contact us. Don't contact me or colleagues to say, hi, doctor, how much of ivermectin must I take? That's not the answer. If you've got COVID, if you are sick, seek advice from your doctor. Make a phone call. If you do, of course, you can't just pitch up there because of isolation protocols and because of quarantine. But if you are sick, you can phone your doctor, get the correct dosage. If you want to take it for prophylaxis, don't buy it off the black market. A 60-kilo person and a 100-kilo person do not take the same amount. And what's happening is people are underdosing with ivermectin and then they say, you know what, I took ivermectin and I got COVID. Yeah, but that's the same thing with the vaccines, right? Nothing is 100%. So you have to take the correct dose and you've got to take it depending on your weight. And also, initially we were saying to everybody, take it on an empty stomach because that's how you would take it for scabies and for parasites. But now we know that ivermectin is better absorbed with a fatty meal, and it's better if you take it with something like loratadine or non-sedating Allergex. So my key message that I'd like to tell the public out there is that if you want to take ivermectin, the dosage protocols have changed. Contact a GP who is dispensing it, see the doctor, and get the correct dosage. If you are a doctor or a pharmacist or a healthcare practitioner that also wants to advise your patients about ivermectin and you're not sure about the protocols, contact me. I'm very happy to add you onto our discussion management group to help share protocols with you or direct you in the right way, because knowledge is power. And what we have to do is share with each other so we all can learn.
Some extremely pertinent points that you bring there. Also, obviously, the utility of this particular drug is shown to whatever degree, and research is ongoing. But at the same time, we don't take the professionals out of the process and you know, make this a free for all, and that's what you've been fighting for consistently since the beginning. Doctor, what I want to find out as well is, again, in the latest wave, not necessarily a new strain, but the way it has been behaving has been quite different. Sometimes different symptoms have been shown. You know, does that also change the way you look at ivermectin, you know, from season to season, from wave to wave?
Well, definitely. And the good thing about ivermectin, alhamdulillah, is because it's antiparasitic and antiviral, it's a mechanism of action that will work against any strain. But where the difficulty comes in is a lot of times now people, you know, there's a whole group of people who say it's just a flu, and when it's in flu season and you have symptoms that feel like the flu, you will just think that you got the flu. And a flu is just a flu only if you've had a negative COVID test. So even if, for example, you've got the flu and you go to school or go to work and you haven't done a test but you're convinced it's the flu, you will give a flu to somebody else because it's also airborne, and then that person will get a fever and a runny nose, and then that person will be in that conundrum to think, do I have COVID? They're not sure. So the advice is to best stay at home if you got flu-like symptoms. But when it comes to different waves, like you said, the different strains, when it comes to like flu season, the symptoms predominate, which are respiratory symptoms. It could be COVID or it could be something else. Also, what we find is as the days and the months are progressing, people are getting a little more complacent. And if they've got family members have tested negative and they've got the flu, they will just assume that also I just got the flu, and then they won't necessarily get tested. And when ivermectin is being used initially on somebody who has mild symptoms, the dosaging is different. But when somebody comes to the doctor and says, you know, I started coughing yesterday, and when the doctor further inquires and says, so when have you not been feeling well? And they'll say, so that's like malaise with general tiredness and fatigue, which is also a sign of COVID. Then the person will say, oh, about 4 or 5 days ago. So that means that the day one of that person is actually 4 or 5 days ago. And I'm quite sure, you know, you are well aware about the whole problem with the steroids, and people were doing the same thing where they were handing out steroids like Smarties and getting it from a friend and an uncle and a neighbor. And steroids should not be used in COVID in the first few days. And it also has to be given under the direction of the doctor. But when you think that I just got a runny nose from today is when I got sick, and let me just take some steroids, you don't even know when it's correctly your day one. And what we found with the different strains is that the duration of the illness and the symptoms slightly vary, but when a doctor does a full history and an examination, they will know exactly which dose of ivermectin to give, when to start steroids, when to start blood thinners, when to start another antibiotic, when to add on zinc and vitamin C, etc. So it is different signs sort of with the strains, but ivermectin is still being used depending on the patient's weight and where they are in the illness.
Indeed, Doctor. Just in about 30 seconds, I'm almost out of time for this particular interview, but in terms of the legal challenges around this, are you satisfied where you are, or does this still continue?
No, our fight is continuing. In fact, we were told by SAHPRA they will give us an undertaking that they will continually review the data that's coming out, and they will, if there's enough data, they will change their stance. But we, together with AfriForum, our group has written to the Minister of Health, to NEMLC, and to SAHPRA about 3 or 4 weeks ago, asking them, when last have you reviewed data? And we found evidence that they reviewed data last on the 25th of January. We've got no reply on that. We will be pursuing that, because if they review the data, Dr. Tess Lowry's meta-analysis came out yesterday. There's new information coming out on a daily basis. And if they look at it properly and look at how it's saving lives, then inshallah, they will change their minds. So our fight is not over yet. We will continue the struggle, inshallah, with all the people who are and the people out there who support us and this cause.
100%, Doctor. I thank you so much for that succinct but positive update, and we wish you all the support and all the luck in continuing to try to assist as many people as possible through the route that you have chosen. Shukran for your time, and assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi. Thank you for having me.